12. Veek led him to the back stairwell. They walked down the concrete steps and out the fire door to the small lot behind the building. She gave a sweeping wave with her arm.
What do you see?
He glanced around. What am I looking at?
It's better if you figure it out on your own.
Nate studied the back lot. There was a chain-link fence between them and the building the next street over. Two small trees grew in either corner of the lot, their trunks forced up through cracks in the concrete. A few faint outlines stood out on the ground, the shapes of things that had been spray-painted red, black, or blue. He looked at the back of the building. There weren't any concrete decorations or decorative pillars on this side. A cinder block propped the door open. Another fire escape clung to the brick wall, and the ladder hung a few feet above the door. He followed it up to the windows of his kitchen and Mandy's studio.
I'm still not sure what I'm supposed to see.
Veek shrugged off her Oxford shirt and tied it around her waist, leaving her in the black tee.
Okay then, she said. Let's go out front.
They walked back through the building, past the ever-empty room 5 and the never-functional elevator. She led him out the front stoop and down to the first landing.
Now what do you see?
I'm still not sure of the point of this. Just look, she told him. Once you see it, you're going to kick yourself for not noticing before.
He shrugged and looked at the building again. It was the same mismatched brick as the back. On this side, it was broken by the two slabs of concrete and the pillars flanking the front door. This fire escape zigzags the other way, he said. Is that it?
No, keep looking.
The stone lintel had Kavach engraved in bold letters, but Nate couldn't see anything else on it. He squinted up at the concrete over Oscar's windows and beneath Zila's. It didn't look like there'd ever been words or numbers on them, just the image of a shield. He stepped off the landing and peered over at the cornerstone with its pair of monograms. They still didn't mean anything to him.
He counted the windows, then used his hands to make sure they lined up.
He looked up at the edge of the roof for any gargoyles or angels or anything else he may have missed. After another few minutes, he shrugged.
I have no idea. Come on.
Where are we going?
Across the street, she said, opening the gate. What for? I told you it's better if you figure it out on your own.
Right, he muttered. No one can be told what the Matrix is, she smirked.
Something like that.
They walked across Kenmore and she guided him up the steps of another building. It was one of the brighter ones on the street with a lot more Spanish influence. It might have been a small mansion at one point before being broken up into apartments. He glanced up at the building. Are we going to get in trouble for being here?
For what, standing on the stairs if anyone asks we're looking at our place?
Veek gestured at the far side of the street.
Now.
He looked at the apartment building, then at the ones on either side. The one to the north, the one his window looked down on, was more of a Victorian style, painted bright blue and white. The one to the south, higher up the hill, was another Spanish-style place. Past that was a wider brick building that looked like it might be distantly related to theirs. Still not seeing anything, he said.
What's on the roof of this building?
This one? Nate turned and craned his neck back. There was a small balcony with a flower box blocking his view. He took a step back, but the edge of the roof was still lost in the cluster of wires leading into the building. He could see the orange-red tiles of the roof, but nothing else.
I don't see anything, he told her.
Can you give me a hint what I'm... Nate stopped and gazed over his shoulder at their apartment building. He looked over at the quasi-Victorian and the fan of power cables and phone lines running into it. He glanced up the street at the larger brick building and the web stretching between it and the phone poles. He crossed the street. Veek stayed a few steps behind him. He got to the gate and looked up at the Kavach building. The bricks and concrete stared back.
There aren't any power cables, he said. There's nothing.
Veek pointed at the single line running from the phone pole to the corner of their roof.
Pac-Bell and Comcast, she said. The one in the middle is the phone line, the one spiraling around it is the cable.
Nate was still staring up in the air.
But where's everything else?
There is nothing else, said Veek. There's no electrical lines running into the building at all. There's also no meters out back or in the basement. No one here notices because we're not paying for it. No one else notices because it's not their job.
She nodded at the building.
We're not hooked into the LA power grid.
So where's the electricity come from? Veek shrugged and shook her head.
I have no idea.